Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The Antichrist are multiplying in our midst. We are seeing that on a daily basis, where there's a whole group of folks that are denying that Jesus Christ is actually God Almighty. Let's talk about it, Saints. This is an essential. If there is one essential to believe of the Messiah, it would be that He is God Almighty, because all of the prophets by the Holy Spirit taught us just that exact thing concerning Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in John 1:14 that the Word, that's Christ, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is the eternal Word, the subject, the grand topic of Holy Scripture and the prophetic utterances of the prophets concerning the Messiah. This is Christ, the Word. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The biblical doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ is simply that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. That's what we read in 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh. That wasn't the Father or the Holy Spirit. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, the Son of the living God. 1 John 4:2, to underscore the absolute essential of believing that Jesus is God Almighty. The scripture says in 1 John 4:2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, the prophesied Messiah, has come in the flesh. And by the way, when we read of Him coming in the flesh, we read of Him being Emmanuel in Isaiah and in Matthew 1, verse 21 through 23. And He even defines that Emmanuel is God with us, and God came in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. So every spirit, this is how we know the Spirit of God is in someone. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And then the next verse, verse 3, 1 John 4, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So anybody who denies that the Messiah was born in the flesh and is God, anyone who denies that is not of God. Notice, of God and not of God. In John's writing, these are things we see: those that are of God and those that are not of God. Okay, and that's what we see right here in 1 John 4:2 and 3. And I like to underline and highlight those things, because he's making a contrast and a distinction between those that are of God and those who are antichrist. Again, verse 3, 1 John 4, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and remember, God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. These are scriptures that I want to encourage you to memorize, my friend. So every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is what the spirit, this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So 2,000 years ago, there were those who were denying that Jesus Christ was come in the flesh, and there are those today. There's no new thing under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. There are those today, and the numbers are growing, it seems, that deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And the Bible says right here in 1 John 4:3 that they are of the spirit of Antichrist. Notice 2 John, verse 7, it's only one chapter, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. It couldn't be any clearer than God made it. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the mighty God, prophetically uttered by Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, anyone who doesn't believe he is God and also that he came in the flesh and was born of a virgin is absolutely of the spirit of Antichrist. Remember, saints, Jesus Christ is God Almighty, the eternal Word from all eternity past. He has no beginning or ending, and it was an absolute necessity that he be born in the flesh to shed his precious, innocent, divine blood on the altar of the cross to redeem mankind. Anyone who does not believe these essential tenets or doctrines of the Christian faith is absolutely not of God. They are an antichrist. They are outside of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So he was born of a virgin. He was God Almighty, born in the flesh, the Word made flesh, manifest to us to die for our sins on the cross. These are absolute essentials of the Christian faith. And anyone denying any one of these biblical tenets is absolutely antichrist. Notice Jesus's apostle John told us that in the last days there would be many antichrists, and there were already many antichrists, he was saying there in 1 John 2:18. Though, and by the way, those antichrists were right in their midst. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Listen to this. Notice John the apostle says, little children, it is the last time. So the last days, as scripture teaches, began when Jesus died and rose from the dead, and his church was launched, if you will, book of Acts, as he had foretold it would be at Pentecost. And he says, we're in the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists. Notice there are many antichrists. What is an antichrist? An anti, notice two words put together, anti and Christ, is someone who is against Christ. And the way somebody is against Christ, and this is the most insidious of the definition, is in place of, someone who puts something or anything in place of Christ and or the teachings of Christ. An antichrist puts something in front of, or anything that he puts in front of, the doctrine of Christ. Quote unquote, 2 John verse 9, the doctrine of Christ given to us. And where do we find that doctrine of Christ? It's given to us in the record of Holy Scripture. Remember, the Apostle Paul taught that Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for what? The first thing, doctrine, that is the teachings of Jesus Christ and his apostles and prophets. So the Antichrist puts something. They don't uphold the head, Christ, Colossians 2, 18 and 19. They put something in place of, or in lieu of, or twist his doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. That 2 John 9 uses that phrase, the doctrine of Christ. In 2 John verse 9, the scripture says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that embodies everything that is taught about Jesus Christ, including that he is the Almighty, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. So he that abideth not, that is those who are in Christ now but don't remain in the doctrine of Christ, they do not remain in what's taught about Christ in the Scriptures, they err from such. And then he says, they have not God. Whosoever transgresseth, that means goes into sin, that always precedes the perversion of the Word of God to fit a lifestyle that is not glorifying to God, is not holy, holy. Okay, so whosoever transgresseth and abideth or remains not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. See, so those who, after being saved and believing that the Bible is a record of God about the Messiah, they err from that set of beliefs, then they no longer have God. They are not saved anymore. They were, but now they're not. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, there it is again, hath both the Father and the Son. So in order to remain in the Father and the Son, you must remain in what the Bible teaches about the Father and especially the Son. That's 2 John verse 9. I want you to go ahead and make that a memory verse and share it with others this week. In fact, the Bible goes on to say in the next couple of verses that if you bid Godspeed to any of these antichrists who do not continue in the doctrinal teachings of Christ from the Bible, then you are going to receive the same reward as those false teachers that you bid Godspeed to or you support in any way. Notice 1 John, one book before 2 John, obviously. The Apostle Paul says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now, this is 2,000 years ago, and there were many Antichrists then. And so if my opening statement in this message shocked you, I think now you should realize that it shouldn't shock you that that statement was included and involved many Antichrists and how they are increasing all around us, as many of you deal with every day. There's a whole constituency of people saying that Jesus Christ wasn't God. And we're going to make it crystal clear before this message is over that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And the scriptures foretold that he would be. And he told us that that's who he is. Verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not of us." 1 John 2:19. Notice he's speaking of the Antichrist. Notice he says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So what happened was these people were in the body of Christ, and then they chose to disbelieve the doctrine of Christ, and therefore they went out. They left. They departed. Remember, Paul said, "Some shall depart from the faith." 1 Timothy 4:1-2. And so you got these people here departing from the faith. The faith of Christ comes from the Word of God. The scripture tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we know that good God-glorifying faith that saves is coming out of the Word of God. And if somebody doesn't believe what the Word of God tells us and believes that somehow they've been given permission to change it or decide what they want it to say, then they are an antichrist, and you need to put them out from you. In fact, the scripture expressly tells us to do such. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 10, it says that we are to reject an heretic. Heretic is somebody who disbelieves or no longer believes the doctrine of Christ as given to us in the Holy Scriptures. In fact, Jesus also said, "Give not that which is holy to the dogs, and cast not your pearls before swine." Matthew 7:6. So these antichrists went out. John said they're antichrist twice in verse 18. And they went out from among the true brethren, and they were no longer of them. And so they went out. Now, a lot of people in the evangelical movement try to make this into a once saved, always saved verse, that's a so-called proof text, but that's not at all what it's saying. He just is saying that they separated from them because they no longer believe the Word of God. So the Apostle John did not consider these Christ-denying antichrists to never have been Christians. No, they only departed from the body of Christ because they departed from the faith, which Scripture tells us some would do, as we said earlier in 1 Timothy 4:1. Instead, the Apostle John says that they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, and that they might be made manifest that they are not all of us, unquote, 1 John 2:19. Notice he says they would no doubt have continued with us. So that meant they were of them, but they didn't continue with them, and that's because they chose to believe lies, as we see many doing today. There are tribes of them who run together and have backed themselves into a corner declaring that Jesus Christ is not God. These couldn't be more vile as far as heretics go. They only departed from the true believers, those in John's day and those today, because they chose not to abide or did not continue in the doctrine of Christ and the fact that Jesus Christ is Messiah, the Messiah of God, abundantly made obvious from Genesis to Revelation. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7:14, the scripture tells us that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." You're going to know when the Messiah comes. comes. Behold, here's how you're going to know it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. This is a miracle that God alone could do and did do. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us, as is specifically stated in the fulfillment passage of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God, yes, God with us. Also, Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, for it reveals that Jesus Christ the Messiah was going to be God Almighty. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And notice, he already existed as God with no beginning or end. That's why it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Given, the Son of God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, capital W, Counselor, capital C, the Mighty God. Let me say it again. Underline it in your Bible. Highlight it. The Mighty God. Jesus Christ the Messiah was foretold. It was foretold that he was going to be the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That alone tells you that he is divine, that he is going to rule the world for all ages to come when he comes back to take back possession of his earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the people therein are also his. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. Notice also Micah 5, 2. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is absolutely God Almighty. Micah 5, 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah. Notice it said Bethlehem Ephratah because at the time of Christ's birth, there were two towns called Bethlehem, but the specific town he was to be born in was Bethlehem Ephratah. Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. There it is. Jesus, born as a man in Bethlehem Ephratah, is God and existed from eternity past. That's exactly what we just read. From everlasting. He has no beginning. He's eternal. That could be only mean that he is deity. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the capital W Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to underline that, highlight it. The Word was God. This is Jesus Christ. And then it continues in John 1, all things were made by him. All things were created by who? Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And with, in fact, Colossians 1:16, speaking of Jesus Christ, says all things were made by him and for him. Colossians 1, verse 16. All things were made by him, John 1, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, verse 1, 2, 10, and 14. So contrary to what false religions and Antichrist teach, Jesus Christ was not a man becoming God or just a God among other gods. No, he is the one true God, the only God, the Almighty God, who became man to redeem man, according to John 1 and Revelation 1:8. John 3:13 says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Where did Jesus come from? Yeah, from heaven. Amen. That alone tells you he is God, even the Son of God, which is in heaven. Amen. J. Oswald Sanders said this. He said, the deity of Christ is the key doctrine of the scriptures. Rejected, and the Bible becomes a jumble of words without any unifying theme. He continues, accept this fact, accept it, that Jesus Christ is God, that is, and the Bible becomes an intelligible and ordered revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. That's J. Oswald Sanders. Amen, dear brother. And of course, he's already passed on into glory. All right, so of Christ distinctly, Colossians, as I mentioned earlier, reveals that Jesus Christ is the creator and the divine sustainer of all that exists. Let me read the text, Colossians 1:16 and 17. For by him, that's Christ specifically, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, that's by Christ, and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, or they're all held together by the word of his power. That's Jesus Christ. Now, I could go on and on with scriptures concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. I want you to read, and we'll link it to the bottom. We'll link it to the bottom of this post. It's on Safeguard Your Soul. This other monumental post, it's called Jesus Christ is God. You can go on safeguardyoursoul.com right now and type into the search box, Jesus Christ is God. And you're going to see an absolute blockbuster post on the deity of Jesus Christ. It's pretty short, too. It's not even that long. But the scriptures make it clear, and I want you to become absolutely richly astute, if you will, in the doctrine of Christ, which at the forefront is that he is God Almighty. In fact, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16 tells us that God was manifest in the flesh. Now, let me ask you, friend, was the Father manifest in the flesh, or the Son, or the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer is that the Son of God was manifested in the flesh, John chapter 1, etc. So 1 John 3:16 says, God, quote, God was manifest in the flesh, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Notice, God, memorize it, was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he went to the cross and died for our sins, shedding his perfect, precious blood, was buried and raised again from the dead, and now he's back at the right hand of the Father and coming soon. And so I want to ask you, my friend, was and is Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh? Yes, he was. And is he the eternal God of heaven and earth? Yes, he is. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There are three distinct divine persons in the Godhead, and they are one in substance and unity. That's another topic. 1 John 5:20 and 21, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. Now, again, I want to point you to the Jesus Christ is God post on safeguardyoursoul.com to have this doctrine deeply entrenched in you. There are many antichrists, and they're roving about to deceive others into believing that Jesus Christ was not God, which is an absolute heresy. There is no greater heresy than that one. So John says that there were many antichrists in his day, and these flaming heretics deny that Jesus Christ is God in the first century, and also now there's a great revival of such damnable heresy, and this is the most profound heresy there could be, because it strikes at the heart of the Messiah, and it lies about him, saying that he was not God. Such rebels who peddle this foolishness do not know Christ. That's absolutely certain. John the Apostle also writes that Jesus Christ is the true God, and he is eternal life in 1 John 5:20, 21. I want you to memorize that. Okay, so now I'm going to read a flaming email that I got recently, and my reply to it as we come in for a landing here. You'll notice that these antichrists that many of you have already encountered, they hate the real Bible also. You ever notice that? They're of their father, the devil. They hate the King James Bible. Why? That's because, a very simple answer, the devil himself possesses them. They are owned by him. And that's why they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, and they deny the real Bible. That only underscores that the King James Bible is the real Bible. God preserved his word, and that could only be one Bible today, and it's the King James Bible. Because it was taken from the pure, uncorrupted manuscripts, and I'm talking specifically about the King James Bible being the real Bible for the English-speaking peoples. Okay, so the lady who lashed out at me for different things here, including calling Jesus Christ, who he is, the Messiah, who is divine, she says things like, and you'll see it in the text part here, I'm just going to skim through it, that she does not like the term Holy Ghost, and also that Jesus Christ is not the Almighty, which Revelation 1:8, Jesus himself says he is, quote, the Almighty, Revelation 1:8. And she's just absolutely furious that I use the King James Bible, and she typically claims that there are errors in it without giving any examples. So my reply went something like this concerning her accusations that communicating God's truth is not being abusive to anyone. She just didn't like it. And then God is calling you to repent, she was told, and called her an antichrist because that's what the Bible calls her. That was because she denies the deity of Jesus Christ. And also, I called her to repentance and posted Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, Jesus says, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:8. So Jesus Christ is God, and anyone who denies such is the most evil of heretics. I continued in my reply. I said, rebels love butchered, toned down, satanically stripped fake Bibles, which were taken from the corrupted manuscripts. The King James Bible, I said, uses Holy Ghost, the term Holy Ghost, 183 times, and brought her to account for her dislike of the word ghost, and that's because she probably grew up on watching Casper the Ghost or something like that, and so she thinks that all ghosts are unholy. But God's Word uses the term Holy Ghost about four times as much as Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost appears 183 times in God's Word. Yet, as you will see for yourself, this Antichrist woman, I said to others, denies Jesus Christ and foolishly listened to the Antichrist and pretends to know better than the unspeakably educated scholars who translated the King James Bible as they were guided by the Holy Ghost himself in fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, that God was going to preserve his word to all generations. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. Also, you'll notice that she doesn't even respect the Lord to capitalize the S when she says Holy Spirit. That's interesting. Okay, so that was my reply to her. You'll see it in the text part of this message. A sister named Barbara said, the Antichrist spirit is strong in that woman. She referred to this lady who had written that on social media. Just plain nonsense in her comments. She made it clear who her God is, and it's not Jesus Christ or the Father. She doesn't even know who the Holy Spirit is, unquote. So, saints, keep in mind that people like this lady have been sent strong delusion from God himself, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, and that's because they do not receive the love of the truth. And this is all done after the working of Satan, it says in that passage. When you read this important passage in 2 Thessalonians 2, you're going to witness how God actually takes it personally when people do not receive the love of his truth. Another writer says this, make no mistake, however, there are professing Christians who reject essential doctrine about the person and work of Jesus Christ and who can therefore rightly be labeled heretics. I recently read, he writes, a Two Views book which centered on the question of whether or not Jesus is God. Both writers claim to be Christian. Both, in fact, claim to be evangelical Christians by his rejection of Jesus Christ as divine. However, one of the authors negated his claim of being a Christian. Christians do not reject the divinity of Jesus Christ, but that is exactly the error into which the Gnostics fell. And he finishes. He says, the Gnostics denied that Jesus is the Christ. John and his fellow apostles preached Jesus as the Messiah, prophesied in the Old Testament. The Gnostics rejected this teaching and, as such, minimized the biblical teaching on the person and work of Christ, and their teaching invalidated their claims that they were Christians, unquote. So he also determines, as Scripture teaches, that these people are not Christians. Anyone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ is absolutely not a Christian, but rather a hellbound liar who is bearing witness against the Almighty. Okay, so concerning Gnosticism, one writer says there is actually no such thing as Christian Gnosticism because true Christianity and Gnosticism are mutually exclusive systems of belief. In other words, oil and water don't mix. One is in darkness and the other in the light of truth. He continues, he says, the principles of Gnosticism contradict what it means to be a Christian. Therefore, while some forms of Gnosticism may claim to be Christian, they are, in fact, decidedly non-Christian. Gnosticism was perhaps the most dangerous heresy that threatened the early church during the first three centuries. In fact, let me stop right there and say books like Colossians and 1 John, etc., were definitely writ as a defense against the teachings of Gnosticism and the Gnostics. Gnostics. Influenced, he continues, by such philosophers as Plato, Gnosticism is based on two false premises. First, it espouses a dualism regarding the spirit and matter. Gnostics assert that matter is inherently evil and spirit is good. As a result of this presupposition, Gnostics believe anything done in the body, even the grossest sin, has no meaning because real life exists in the spirit realm only, unquote. You know, that's a cop-out, too, for them to sin, right? We see people like that today. Okay, so let's continue. Secondly, he says, Gnostics claim to possess an elevated knowledge, a higher truth, known only to a certain few. You see, they self-appoint themselves as those who have this esoteric truth, or this truth that's only reserved to the special ones. He continues, Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. Gnostics claim to possess a higher knowledge not from the Bible, but acquired on some mystical higher plane of existence. Gnostics see themselves as a privileged class, elevated above everybody else by their higher, deeper knowledge of God. Okay, it continues. It says the person of Jesus Christ is another area where Christianity and Gnosticism drastically differ. The Gnostics believe that Jesus' physical body was not real, but only seemed to be physical, and that his spirit descended upon him at his baptism, but left him just before crucifixion. Such views destroy not only the true humanity of Jesus, but also the atonement. For Jesus must not only have been truly God, but also the truly human and physically real man who actually suffered and died upon the cross in order to be the acceptable substitutionary sacrifice for sin. The biblical view of Jesus affirms his complete humanity as well as his full deity. And finally, he says, Gnosticism is based on a mystical, intuitive, subjective, inward, emotional approach to truth, which is not new at all. It is a very old, going back to some form in the Garden of Eden, where Satan questioned God in the words he spoke and convinced Adam and Eve to reject them and accept the lie. He does the same thing today as he walketh about seeking whom he may devour, according to 1 Peter 5:8. He still calls God and the Bible into question and catches in his web those who are either naive and scripturally uninformed, or who are seeking, those who are seeking some personal revelation to make them feel special, unique, and superior to others. Why? Because they're crossless. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. They won't come to God humbly in true repentance, deny themselves, take up their cross, lay down their life, and follow Jesus and the crucified life. Okay, he finishes. He says, concerning Gnostics, let us follow the Apostle Paul, who said it best, and that would be to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, and this we do by comparing everything to the Word of God, the only truth, unquote, and that would be to be like the Bereans. Amen. Okay, saints, as we close, I want to exhort you to remember that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things: doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. This may be a message that you'd might consider listening to several times so that the revelation of Scripture begins to drill down deep into your mind and heart that Jesus Christ is God. And also to open your Bible and highlight and cross-reference all of these Bible verses on the divinity of Jesus Christ. To always be aware of the false prophets, the many false prophets which have gone out among you, Jesus said, and they will deceive many. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. And let's close with 1 John 4:1, which says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many, not a few, but many false prophets are going out into the world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and You can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.